in the limelight.
The Israeli regime's export of Zionism and neocolonialism and the accompanying oppression that in practice actually helps to create many of the very terrorist groups they fight against is just as dangerous as its export of arms. These were the remarks of Chile-based American journalist Whitney Webb in her article for Mint Press titled Israel's Hidden Role in the Brewing India-Pakistan Conflict Exposed. Stay with us, please. Well-known British journalist Robert Fisk recently wrote a very telling and troubling article in newspaper The Independent regarding the outsized role of the Zionist regime in the burgeoning tensions between India and Pakistan, two nuclear powers. The story, despite its importance given the looming threat of nuclear war between the two countries, was largely overlooked by the Western media. The tit-for-tat attacks exchanged between India and Pakistan recently have seen long-standing tensions between the two countries escalate to dangerous proportions, though Pakistan helped to de-escalate the situation somewhat by returning and saving an Indian pilot whose plane had been shot down in retaliation for India's bombing of targets in a disputed area administered by Pakistan. That bombing was retaliation for a car bomb attack launched by Jaish-e-Mohammed militants, a group that both India and Pakistan recognize as a terrorist organization, against Indian forces. Some analysts have speculated that India's decision to bomb this area was made by Indian President Narendra Modi, a Hindu ethno-nationalist, in order to rally his base ahead of upcoming Indian elections in May. Yet, whatever the reason, the bombing has revealed the close ties that have formed between Modi's India and Benjamin Netanyahu's Zionist regime, particularly between their militaries. As Fisk notes, following the bombing, Indian media heavily promoted the fact that Israeli-made bombs, specifically Rafale Spies 2000 smart bombs, had been used in the attack. Fisk writes, like many Israeli boasts of hitting similar targets, the Indian adventure into Pakistan might owe more to the imagination than military success. The 300-400 terrorists supposedly eliminated by the Israeli-manufactured and Israeli-supplied GPS-guided bombs may turn out to be little more than rocks and trees, unquote. Arguably, the most important aspect of Fisk's report is his detailing of the very close ties that have been forged between the Israeli and Indian militaries in recent years. For instance, according to Fisk, India was Israel's arms industry's largest client in 2017, spending nearly $700 million on Israeli air defense systems, radars, ammunition, and missiles. Many of those weapons had been promoted as combat-tested after being used against Palestinians in the Gaza Strip and the world's largest open-air prison. That same year, India represented 49% of Israel's arms export market. In addition to arms purchases, many Indian soldiers have traveled to the Negev Desert to be trained by Israeli special commando units, and at least 16 elite Indian guard commandos were recently based at two separate Israeli air bases. Just as troubling as this military cooperation is that ethno-nationalism and anti-Islam rhetoric are increasingly becoming the basis for the relationship between the Modi government and the Zionist regime. For instance, a recent article in the Israeli daily Haaretz written by Indian journalist Shari Malhotra and cited by Fisk noted that the India-Israel relationship is also commonly being framed in terms of a natural convergence of ideas between the ruling BJP and Likud parties. Other reports have noted that this has translated into more aggressive policies from Modi targeting Kashmir and Muslims elsewhere in India, and that continued Israeli goading of Modi's anti-Islam tendencies could make life much more difficult for the estimated 200 million Muslims living in India. While some analysts and reports have warned about this danger, Fisk notes that it will be difficult to prevent the Zionist fascist nationalism of Benjamin Netanyahu's Likud party from influencing India's ruling party, writing, "It is difficult to see how Zionist nationalism will not lead to Hindu nationalism when the Israeli regime is supplying so many weapons to India." The latest of which India, which has enjoyed diplomatic relations with Israeli regime since 1992, has already used against militants inside Pakistan, unquote. Fisk goes on to note that signing up to the war on terror especially may seem natural for India and the Israeli regime, which were built on colonial partition. Indeed, India's actions in the disputed Kashmir region share many similarities to the Israeli regime's neo-colonial occupation of Palestine. For instance, the Muslim majority of Kashmir are treated as second-class citizens on their own land, and their push for self-determination has been brutally suppressed by Indian forces. As of 2016, 500,000 Indian military personnel in the region were present in the region, roughly equating to one soldier for every 25 civilians. As Al Jazeera noted at the same time, there have been more than 70,000 killings, about 10,000 enforced disappearances, and 7,000 mass graves found since 1947 in Indian-administered Kashmir. There are many other parallels between Kashmir and Palestine, including the fact that the British government shares a large share of the responsibility for the both. Indeed, the British planned partition, creating the current states of India and Pakistan in 1947, is the root of the current conflict in Kashmir, much as the Britain-mandated creation of the Zionist regime in 1948 is the root of the current conflict in Palestine. As far as Kashmiris and Palestinians are concerned, the government of India and the Zionist regime picked up where their colonial master of years past left off. If a deadly conflict ultimately breaks out between India and Pakistan, it will hardly be the first time the Israeli regime has armed controversial governments. The Israeli regime sold arms to the Rwandan government during the Rwandan genocide, and more recently to the government of Myanmar during its ethnic cleansing of the Rohingya Muslims. Yet, as Fisk notes, the Israeli regime's export of Zionist nationalism and neocolonialism and the accompanying oppression that in practice actually helps to create many of the very terrorist groups they fight against is just as dangerous as its export of arms.